Good evening, everyone. This is Steve Santaciro, your state senator here in the 10th District in Bucks County, and welcome to our telephone town hall. This evening, we are very fortunate to have a special guest with us, the Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Kathy Buchvar. We are going to be talking tonight primarily about the upcoming June 2nd primary and issues relating to that, as well as our new vote-by-mail law. And Secretary Buchvar will be very happy to take your questions about that. Obviously, if you have other questions that you'd like to ask, whether it's regarding the current pandemic crisis or anything else relating to state government, I will be happy to field those as well. In order to be connected live tonight, you need to press star 3 on your phone. Once more, star 3 will connect you live to us this evening so that you will be able to ask a question. And we will try to get to as many questions as we possibly can tonight. But if you're not successful in getting through, at the very end of the call, you will be able to leave a message with your question, and we will get back to you at that time. So without further ado, I'm happy to introduce my friend, a fellow resident of Bucks County, so we're very proud about that, the Secretary of State for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Kathy Buchvar. Secretary Buchvar?
Thank you so much, Senator. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for all you're doing as a constituent, as well as, you know, just a fellow Harrisburgian at times. Really appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you.
So I'll just give an overview, if that's all right, of some of the things we're doing to prepare for the primary and about mail-in voting and such. So hopefully I'll be able to answer some questions at the front end, and then I'm happy to take questions as well. So, you know, I think we all expected 2020 to be a historic year, and we all also knew that all Pennsylvania voters across the Commonwealth would be voting on new and more secure voting systems. So you in Bucks County, I know, have a new clear ballot voting system with hand-marked paper ballots, and hopefully you have, for those of you that are going to be voting in person, I think you'll find it a very usable, easy-to-use system. And then in the fall, you know, thank you, Senator, for your leadership in helping pass Act 77, which was historic bipartisan legislation that we knew was important then, but thank goodness included voting by mail-in ballot without having to provide an excuse. We, of course, didn't know that COVID-19 would make that addition for voters in Pennsylvania more critical than ever. So we've been working around the clock in partnership with county, state, and federal partners to make sure that all the changes that Act 77 and the new voting systems provided are carried out as effectively as possible, particularly in light of the global pandemic that, of course, we're all dealing with. So just a number of things that we're doing. We've been doing a comprehensive voter education campaign to inform everybody about the new primary date of June 2nd and urge the easy, secure, and safe option of mail-in voting. So hopefully many of you have seen bilingual radio, television, and digital platform ads. We sent postcards and emails to registered voters. And it's all been very, very effective. As of today, over 1.5 million applications have been submitted to date for mail-in or absentee ballots. And in Bucks County alone, almost 90,000 ballot applications have been submitted. And just to give, it's off the charts. So comparatively, Senator, you know, back in 2016, 100,000 registered voters voted absentee in the primary of 2016. So to have 1.5 million applications, it's understandable that this is, you know, knocking everybody for a loop in a good way, right? We want to stay safe.
Right.
But real quickly, I just want to say, if you choose to vote in person, if you choose not to vote by mail, even in red zones, which Bucks is expected to be on June 2nd, you can absolutely go vote. Elections are considered, you know, essential business. And so treat it like you would treat going to the supermarket or anything else. Even in red zones, the facilities will be that are polling places will be open. Poll workers are allowed to work. And voters should wear masks, go vote, and then go home. There'll be infection protection kits that every poll worker will be provided. They'll have masks and gloves, hand sanitizer, floor marking tape to make sure that social distance is observed, and so forth. And then, just last, I'll sort of close with, we urge everybody to send in your ballot as soon as you receive it, because we all know that with these kinds of volume of numbers of applications being submitted, and, you know, COVID-19 slowing of postal service and, you know, restricted activity in the counties, you just don't want to wait. Get your ballot in as soon as you receive it. And I think I'll close my overview there, Senator, and just I'm happy to take questions.
Great. Thank you, Secretary. Really appreciate that. And those numbers are amazing when you consider just the volume of requests that have gone out. And understandably, it's a lot of work for all of the counties across Pennsylvania, including here in Bucks, to deal with. So everyone, I know there's been some frustration. The ballots are going out now. We just urge patience at this point. And I told Secretary Buchvar when we spoke earlier that I had requested my ballot yesterday. So I'm hoping I'm going to get it in time to be able to mail it in. But one way or the other, I'm getting it to the courthouse by Election Day. So with that, we'll start to take some questions. Again, star 3 on your phone to be connected directly so that you can ask a question. Do we have our first caller? Let's see where we are. Yes, we have Alice on the line. Alice, this is Steve Sanicero. Go ahead. Hello, Alice. Alice, are you there? Again, *3 on the phone, and you will be connected to us. We want to see if we have Alice connected to us. Alice, if you're connected, you can go ahead and ask your question now. Okay, there must be something wrong with the connection.
Hello?
Yeah, is that Alice? Is that Alice?
Yes, it is.
Hey,
yes.
Alice, it's Steve Sanicero. Go ahead. You can ask your question.
What guarantee do we have that our vote is going to be authentic? What are you doing in order to make sure that our identification is authentic, not a fake, that our vote is not going to be changed, and what identification are you using? When we go to the polls to actually vote, we have to have IDs. We have to have our driver's license. We have to sign in. Mm-hmm. What guarantee do we have that this is going to be authentic?
Okay. Thank you for your question, Alice. I just do want to correct one thing. You don't actually have to have an ID when you go to the polls to vote. The first time you go, they generally ask for that, but it's not. It's actually been ruled unconstitutional for that to occur here in Pennsylvania. So that's not necessary. But I'll let Secretary Buchvar talk about the safeguards that are in place with respect to the new mail-in ballot system. Secretary?
Yeah. Thank you, Senator. What happens in Pennsylvania is, and you know, absentee voting has been happening in Pennsylvania for decades, right? So the mail-in ballots are treated exactly the same as absentees always were. So what happens is before you even get a ballot, when you go online, whether it's you go online to Votes PA or if you do it by paper, you have to put in your PennDOT ID, your driver's license ID, or you put in your Social Security last four digits if you do it by paper. And you're immediately being checked against the voter record and against either the PennDOT record or the Social Security database. And so before you even get a ballot, your eligibility is being checked, that you are who you say you are and that you're eligible to vote. That's the front end, right? And then once you get your ballot, you fill out your ballot, and on the outside of the outer envelope, you have to sign, put your name, your information. And before the ballot is counted, the county is again checking your eligibility, comparing that your ballot, the information you put on the outside of your outer envelope of your ballot, matches your voter record. So it's an eligibility check twice at the front end and the back end. And on top of that, when the ballots are counted, there's an opportunity, or before the ballots are even opened, there's an opportunity for challenges. So we have, if you're a candidate, you can have a watcher there. There's a balance of parties. There's political parties can have watchers. And so it's a very secure, safe process with a lot of checks and balances.
That's great. Thank you, Secretary. And after all, vote-by-mail systems are not new. There are other states in the country that have been using them for a number of years, and they've done so successfully. So, I have no doubt that we'll be able to do the same thing here in Pennsylvania. And the only other thing I will add to this whole issue is, while I certainly appreciate that voters are concerned and want to make sure that their votes are counted, that's certainly something that everyone has a very vital interest in. This whole idea of voter fraud, which was floated back at the time when the legislature in the last decade passed the voter ID law that was ultimately overturned in the courts as unconstitutional, there just wasn't actually the facts to back up the claims. When we looked into the incidents of actual voter fraud in Pennsylvania, there just weren't any. And so this is in many ways a red herring. And the system that we've had up until now and the one that the Secretary just described is a very good system that is designed to make sure that not only that voters have access to the ballot, but that, ultimately their votes are counted. And that's something that we're going to continue to strive for. So our next caller is Donna from Levittown. So, Donna, you're on the line. And again, *3 to be connected to us this evening. Donna, go ahead.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Very good, Donna. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead.
I have actually my question has a couple of folds to it. So First of all, all these ballots are going to be mailed out and filled out and returned for the primary in June, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So what happens if people don't get their ballot mailed on time and it doesn't get there by June 2nd?
Well, that is a concern, obviously, and I'll let the Secretary answer that. Go ahead, Secretary.
So I'm happy to say that Bucks County, so we've been tracking county by each county manages their own election. So basically you apply on the Department of State website, but then the counties are the ones that are processing and mailing your ballots. So Bucks County, I'm looking at our database right now, has already mailed out, over 96% of the applications that have been submitted. So that's a very good place to be, that they're that high up in mailing them out. And so the key now is for you and every voter across Bucks to get them in as soon as possible. So what I would suggest is, we're now, election day is 2 weeks from today. That's when the mail-in ballots are due. So if you're going to mail them back, stick them in the mail right away. You can also call the Board of Elections, the County Board of Elections, who, as you all know, we're still in the red zone. So they're not operating under normal hours, but they will come to the door of the courthouse and take a handed in ballot. So my suggestion is if you have any question about your timing, and I've already advised the Senator to do this, don't stick it in the mail. Just make sure you go down to the courthouse, hand it in person, and that way you don't even have to worry about it. And once you, whether you mail it or you hand deliver it, you can go on to votespa.com and check. There's a ballot tracker tab. And, after you've given it time to be mailed in, it will tell you that the ballot has been received. And that takes all the guessing out of it. So I highly recommend you hand deliver it if you have any questions whatsoever.
Great. Thank you, Secretary, and thank you, Donna, for that question. We have next Christine. Christine, you're on the line. Go ahead, and again, *3 to be connected to us this evening. Christine? Hello, Christine. Do you hear me? This is Steve Santasiro. You're on our line. Again, *3 tonight to be connected to us to ask a question. *3 on your phone. And again, do we have Christine on the line?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can now. Yes, Christine, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this, Senator. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Happy to.
Oh, great. My question is pretty simple. I registered for the mail-in ballot. I have not received it yet. But if I do receive it and I decide not to use it and go in person, is that allowed?
Yes. Secretary Bookvar, do you want to answer that? Because the rules are a little different now than they were when we had the old absentee ballot system.
Yeah. And Christine, I would suggest before you decide, go on to, again, look on the votespa.com website and look at the ballot tracker. And you can, if you put in your name, your full name, and your date of birth, it will tell you the status of your ballot. So I'm not sure how recently you applied. But yes, so as Senator mentioned, Act 77, which was passed in the fall, flipped the presumption. So basically, instead of you having to go to the precinct if you're going to be in the area, it actually favors sticking with the form of voting that you started with. So if you've applied for an absentee or mail-in ballot, I suggest that you continue that way, because now the deadline for submitting it is the same as the close of polls. So if you apply for an absentee or mail-in ballot, even if you don't get it until a couple days before, just take a trip to Doylestown and hand it in person. You can do so as late as, you know, the close of polls on election day. If, however, you can't do that, you can go to your polling place and you can vote by provisional ballot. It's a little bit of a different process. It won't be using the same main system that other voters are using, but they'll basically hand you a different paper ballot. You fill it out. You put it in a lot of envelopes. It's sort of more like voting absentee, and it will be counted so long as you're eligible. It's just, it's a longer process, so if you can just do absentee or mail-in, that's better.
Great. Thank you very much, Christine, for that call. And again, star three on your phone will get you connected live tonight to ask a question. My special guest is Kathy Bookfar, the Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania and a constituent and resident of Bucks County. So we're very, very fortunate to have her with us here tonight. Next on the line is Cynthia. Cynthia, go ahead. You're live.
I have a few different questions. I mean, I've noticed this push against the post office. I mean, is that going to be a problem? Is he going to be able to?
I'm sorry.
You know,
what's your
post office? How he wants to close the post office, Trump?
Oh.
And you know, is anything being done, you know, federally to protect the election? I know Pennsylvania is doing it. Are other states doing it too? Would you have that information?
Well, election law is a matter of the elections in this country are run by our states. The post office is functioning. We shouldn't have a problem with that. And so if you choose to vote by mail, I don't expect that you're going to have any issues. You may know that if you go online and request a mail-in ballot, you will have an option to check off a box that will have the ballot mailed to you automatically in the fall as well as for the primary. I've been recommending to people that they take that option since we don't know what the situation will be with the pandemic come November 3rd. I suspect that we will be okay with the U.S. Postal System. I don't think there will be a problem there, regardless of what may or may not be said at the moment. Secretary, you have anything to add to that?
I'll just say that states across the country are aligned with you and want to make sure it's protected. So I talk to Secretaries of State across the country all the time, and everybody's very aware that this is a critical need to protect the Postal Service.
Great. All right. We will now go back to the lines. Star three is the way to connect to us. Star three, and you will be connected live to ask a question this evening. Hold on just for a minute, and we'll see who our next caller is. Sounds like we have someone on the line. Who is that? Is it Jim?
It's Jim. Yep.
Okay, Jim, you're connected. Go ahead.
Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
My understanding is if I vote at the polling place and I make a mistake on my ballot, let's say, for example, there are four people running for a particular position, delegates to the convention, whatever it happens to be,
right.
And the instructions are vote for three and I vote for four. That ballot, I put that ballot into the machine, it's going to spit it back out. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now let's say I do a mail-in ballot and I make the same mistake. What happens to that mail-in ballot when it gets to the Board of Elections? Is it put into a machine and the machine spits it out? And then what happens to that vote?
So it's a great question. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Senator, did you want to?
No, I was going to see if you had an answer for that, because I have I think I know what happens, but I don't want to say the wrong thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's one of the advantages of voting in person is you're notified directly by the scanner. When you vote by mail, you don't have that opportunity, so you would lose that part of your vote. So your whole ballot wouldn't be thrown out, but that piece of it, and it's why we really want to emphasize that every voter should carefully review the instructions on how many people you can vote for, and also carefully review your ballot before you submit it, because people do make mistakes, and as you correctly identified, when you vote by mail, you don't have that opportunity to correct it while you're standing at a scanner.
Right. Okay. This was the so-called overvote problem that happened in Florida, if you remember, 20 years ago.
How do you know I remember 20 years ago?
Yeah, because I remember it.
And I'm,
I resemble that remark. Well, I remember it, so I'm sure you do too, Jim.
But just to confirm, Kathy, the remainder of the ballot is counted. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is that done by hand at that point? Because the machine's not going to. The machine at the Board of Elections is not going to accept it.
So every system is different. There are multiple different systems in use in Pennsylvania, and I know that Clear Ballot is what's used in Bucks. I'm not sure. They may have, I think they have high-capacity, high-speed scanners centrally counting, which are different than the precinct scanners. So I could find out the answer to that. I don't know that particular model, whether it's the rest of it would be hand-counted or whether it would proceed with the machine count without that particular office counting.
Okay, so I'm going to date you and me and all of us again, Jim, and just going to say, remember taking the SAT. Make sure that you fill in the right circle, whatever, or oval, whatever it is, and do not do more than one for each. You just got to double check your work before you send it in, and I think hopefully we'll be okay on that. All right, so the next caller is Henry, and remember, it's *3 to be connected to the line, *3, and you'll be connected directly to us to ask a question. Henry, go ahead.
Yes, good evening.
Sure.
I'm a poll worker. And
uh-huh.
We've been
well, thank you for doing that, Henry.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. We've gone through training, and different strategies are being sent and so on. My question is this. To help the poll workers so there's one less thing to disinfect, shouldn't the voter be encouraged to bring their own pen or pencil to the polling place? If they don't, should there be a supply of pens to present to the voter so only that voter holds the pen? I got this idea because I had elective surgery recently. And that's how they approached it. You went through the different screenings. They gave you a pen. You hold on to this pen. You don't give it back to them. I just think
right.
It will put the poll workers at ease a little bit and also help the voter. Bring your own pen. Bring your own pencil. One last thing to disinfect. I don't know whether you've thought this through or if it's even an important point.
Well, no, it sounds reasonable and I think not a bad idea. I'm not aware of any prohibition to it unless the secretary tells me otherwise. Secretary, what do you think?
A lot of counties are doing exactly that. So thank you. And I want to echo what the senator said. Thank you, Henry, for being a poll worker. As a former poll worker myself, I really have particular appreciation because you are the ones that are the wheel of democracy, literally. So yes, a lot of counties are doing that, and I apologize, I don't recall whether Bucks is as well, although I seem to think that they may be, where they're just going to have lots and lots of pens available, but people should feel free to bring their own. And we're also going to have sanitizing supplies and so forth. There's also, by the way, Bucks is also going to have, they're referred to as sneeze guards, so the plastic separators for the poll workers. So there's going to be a lot of different protections in place for both the voters and the poll workers.
Well, and the secretary is being modest here. Everyone should know that it was her department, the Department of State, that has made the funding available for the counties to be able to have all this protection, and that's obviously going to be very helpful both to voters and to the folks who are working the polls, like Henry. Let me ask a related question. This was one that we got prior to the call. Someone had written in, and also a poll worker, saying that the training for the new machines was canceled. Is there a virtual training available?
There is, and thank you for asking that, Senator. So the Department of State actually developed this exact thing because we wanted to make sure that the counties didn't have to recreate them on their own. So we created webinars that have this information. And in addition, each vendor, has specialized information that's available for those particular machines. So we've offered that to all the counties, and presumably the counties are then offering it to their poll workers as well.
All right, so we will follow up with the person who wrote that in, let them know about that in case they're not on the phone right now. But let me go back to the phones. Again, *3 to connect live with us tonight, and we should have Maureen from Chalfont on the line for us. Maureen, are you here?
I am, thank you.
Sure.
I'm wondering, I'm sure I'm not the only person who relies heavily on the voter's guide to inform my vote, and since the voter's guide will not be available, if we're supposed to send our ballots in right away, mm-hmm. is anything being done to make it available before the election?
You're referring to the voter's guide that the newspaper publishes?
The League of Women's Voters Guide.
League of
Women,
okay.
Published in the paper.
Got it. So it's a good question. I don't know whether they are publishing that online ahead of time. Obviously, we right now are having people voting and submitting their ballots as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I'm sure you're not the only voter out there who is curious about that, and it's a great point. I don't know the answer to that. We can check with the League of Women Voters to see whether they've got it up. I don't know whether you've had a chance to go on their website or not to see whether they've published it themselves. But if not, we can certainly follow up with that and see if they could, or whether the newspaper, for that matter, might consider publishing it earlier. So thank you for that. That's a really good point. Let me go back to one of the other questions that we received ahead of time. Let's see. Are voters required to wear a mask? And I think I know the answer to this question, or at least what they want to do here in Bucks County. Secretary, are you aware of that?
My understanding in Bucks County, so I will start out by saying across the state, we are highly, highly encouraging everybody to wear masks.
Right.
This particular situation is a little trickier because, of course, we have a constitutional right to vote, so it's different than like a supermarket requiring it. However,
right.
My understanding is Bucks County is requiring it.
Yeah, that's my understanding too. In fact, if I read the comments of Commissioner DiGirolamo the other day at their virtual press conference, I think he said that they would like people to wear masks. If you don't have a mask and you go to the polls, they might ask you to wait a little bit until there are fewer people inside. So I think the best bet is to, as you would if you were going to the supermarket or any other outing, bring a mask with you, and that's the best way to do it. So let's go back to the phones, and again, it is *3 to be connected live tonight, *3, and we have Carol on the line. Carol, go ahead.
Hi, Senator. Thank you for having this.
Sure thing.
I think you answered my question already, but I just want to be sure. I'm a senior. Mm-hmm. Everybody nagged me, my family, to get the paper ballot, that it's not safe, whatever, I finally did it. But if I change my mind, first of all, am I going to automatically get a paper ballot for November? But November being extremely important to me, what if I change my mind and want to go? I think I heard you answer it, but if you could answer that again, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. So just to be clear, you did check off the box that has them automatically sending you a ballot for November as well as the primary? Okay, I think we lost Carol, but I think that was what she was saying. So once again, as Secretary, if you want to just go over the provisional ballot issue again.
Sure, and I'll say, you know, because she may not recall. So when you applied for your ballot this time, there's a special box that the senator was referring to, which says, do you want to be on the permanent annual list? If you check yes, then you will automatically get the ballot in November, and for any special elections that happen between now and then, you'll automatically get a mailed ballot without having to apply. If you didn't check the box, then it's not automatic, and you would have to reapply, or you could go vote in person. So that really depends on whether you check that box. And regardless, for this time, if you already requested the ballot, I do suggest that you carry out voting that way. So if you requested a mail-in ballot, even if it means dropping it off in person on election day, that's usually a quicker process than going to your polling place and voting by provisional ballot, which just takes a little bit longer. So you can do it. You can show up. You can ask for a provisional ballot and do it that way. It's just, it's not as easy as just carrying out the absentee or mail-in voting that you've already requested.
Sure. Thank you for that. And so we received a number of questions ahead of time that go to essentially PPE and safety at the polling places. Secretary, can you tell us a little bit about what is being done? And I know, again, as I said a moment ago, your department has made sure that the counties have the resources they need to address these issues. But maybe you could just briefly run through some of the things that will be done when people go to the poll, if they actually go to the polls, as opposed to doing a mail-in ballot.
Yeah, thank you, Senator. So what everybody can expect is, again, in Bucks County, they're going to have, and in most counties, they're going to have sneeze guards, so those plastic dividers. All the poll workers will have masks and gloves, hand sanitizers, sanitizing supplies for the machines. And as we discussed, you know, either people can bring their own pen or they can have a pen there. We're also looking into, we've been very fortunate, some manufacturers of all different kinds have been donating or very low cost donate or selling what are called shields, the face shields. And so I think Bucks County will also be having these. We've connected them with a local supplier who to allow all the poll workers to have those face shields on, which will be just an added level of protection. So, you know, you could be very comfortable with the fact, and again, as the senator said, wear a mask, go vote, and then go home and be safe. Treat it like you would anything else. But it's going to be there's going to be tape markings on the floor to make sure people maintain their social distancing. And not only did we provide the supplies from the Department of State to the counties, we've also we were able to get federal appropriations, and so we've divided $13 million to all the counties so that they can also prioritize other expenses, other supplies that they want to provide as well. So. All in all, it's a very safe and secure way to do it, but still, go vote and then go home.
Sounds great. Okay, thank you very much for that. And now we're going to go again back to the phone lines, and again, star 3 to connect to us this evening, star 3 on your phone, and you will be connected directly to us to ask a question. Next, we have Penny. Penny, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Penny, go ahead.
Okay, the reason I called... I received in the mail the same day both the application and the ballot. The application, I don't know if that needed a stamp or not. One of them needed a stamp. They're in two separate envelopes. The ballot had Bernie Sanders on it, and I don't think that was right. So I filled it out, sent it in, but I didn't know.
So you said Bernie Sanders, he was listed as a candidate on the ballot, correct?
Correct.
Yes, he would still be. I mean, my understanding is that he chose not to remove himself from the remaining primaries on the ballots.
Tulsi Gabbard was also on the ballot.
Okay. So some of those candidates are still there, even in Bernie Sanders' case, though he's effectively ended his campaign. When he did so, he made it known that he was going to keep his name on the ballot. So that was not an error. Yep.
And it may be So there are third-party organizations, as well as candidates and political parties, who are independently sending out applications, and they're not tracking whether people have already requested a ballot. So if you got a ballot, you probably applied directly. That's correct. You can ignore the application. It probably was sent by a third party who doesn't know that you've already gotten your ballot.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Penny. And again, star three connects you directly this evening to our line, and you can ask a question of either me or Secretary Bookvar, who we're very, very pleased to have joining us tonight. Next, we have Tom from Yardley. Tom, go ahead. You're on the line.
Hello. Yes, I've been for a long time, in my own mind, I'm against paper ballots. I think there are too many loopholes and too many errors, potentially. My mm-hmm. question is, too, how early can somebody submit a paper ballot? You said some are already submitting them. We often hear the story about somebody who has died voting. Some of these people may have mailed in their ballots already and will die before June 2nd and really should not be counted as a voter on June 2nd. And my other question is, how can you prevent somebody from doing both? If I get my paper ballot, which I requested, and go and vote as well, will there be something to tell them that you've already dropped off a paper ballot?
Shall I take the senator?
Yeah, go ahead, Secretary. Yep, go ahead.
So a couple of things. So first, I'm going to answer your last question first, which is once you even apply for a paper ballot, whether you apply or you've actually cast your ballot, the poll book that you sign in when you go in person is going to very clearly identify in the poll book that you've already either cast your ballot or even requested a ballot. So if you've cast your ballot, it actually doesn't even allow for a signature line. So a person literally cannot vote if they've already cast their ballot. The poll book will very, very clearly identify them as already casting their ballot. So it's really prohibitive. And then the other question you're asking about whether you can vote twice or what have you, there's, the eligibility checks that I mentioned from the beginning don't allow people who are not eligible to even be sent a ballot. So if you've passed away, of course, you know, if you've sent in your ballot and then you sadly passed away before Election Day, those lists are updated. So the counties all do what's called list maintenance. And we're statewide a part of a national entity, which not only allows for in-state checking, but allows for cross-state checking. So the counties are constantly updating their voter rolls, including looking at lists of deceased voters that they get every 60 days or so. So, you know, the whole, you know, fear or theory of dead people voting, it doesn't actually happen because those lists are updated against obituaries and the Department of Health records on a very regular basis. So you could feel secure and safe that eligible voters who are alive are the ones that are casting their ballots.
So in other words, we're not in Cook County, Illinois, or Jersey City, New Jersey in the 1930s any longer, right?
It seems to move past that.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, and I'm sure that'll make many people feel much more secure about the vote. So again, star three connects you this evening to our line where you can ask a question. And next we have Jordan from Lower Makefield. Jordan, go. You're on the line.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for doing this evening. Very useful conversation, both of you. Very helpful.
Well, thank you.
I want to know, do mail-in ballots and absentee ballots count exactly the same as an in-person ballot?
Yes.
Correct.
Another, as far as a vote is concerned, yes.
Yes, as far as a vote is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And I think you've answered the other question a number of times, but I will ask it again just for clarification, and that is for the November ballot, if perchance we did not, how do we check if we signed that box for automatic? Is that available on that website that you mentioned, Kathy?
Good question.
Secretary? That is a good question.
Yeah.
I don't think it's on the website as a separate independent thing. So what I would suggest is you call Bucks County Board of Elections office and ask them, and they will be able to check that for you.
Okay. I think Jordan's off the line now, but thank you, Jordan, for those questions, and hopefully you got that. Again, star three connects you to the line this evening, so you can ask a question. We are taking questions tonight on any topic, but focusing primarily on the June 2nd primary and the new voting system with our mail-in ballots under Act 77, which was passed last year. And our special guest this evening is Bucks County's own Kathy Bookfar, the Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So next we have on the line is Paul. Paul, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Senator, and thank you, Secretary Bookfar, for doing this. My question is, I sent in my early mail-in ballot today, and my wife was doing the same before I took it to the post office, but she almost put her birth date on the inside envelope. Will that invalid the vote if they put their birth date rather than the date they actually complete the ballot?
Great question. Secretary?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's funny because I did notice that I just filled out my mail-in ballot yesterday as well, my absentee ballot. So I do not believe so, because what they're looking at is they're looking at your name and the signature. I think that's probably going to be a fairly common error, because people are sort of expecting to put that when they see a date. What matters is they're going to be checking your name. The envelope, as you might have noticed, was pre-printed with your name and information in the return address section. And so they've already identified, they've attributed the ballot to you. So I don't anticipate that would be a problem, no.
Okay, great. Thank you, Paul, and thank you for that, Secretary. If I make that mistake, I will be sure to write in Lyndon Johnson as the presidential candidate. I mean, you know, that'll cover my birthday. Next we have on the line Corey from Newtown. Corey, you're live. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you for taking my question. So my wife received the application for a mail-in ballot. I did not receive one, but I printed one out. And what I wanted to know is if I can put them both in the same envelope to mail them in.
The application for the ballot?
Right, for the application for the ballot, yeah.
Okay. Secretary, what do you say to that?
I would say yes. Because it's the application, not the ballot. You could be safe and do them separately, but for application purposes, you could even have somebody else drop it off, whereas for ballot, you have to do it yourself. So I think that's fine.
Okay. You heard it here. If you have any problems, Corey, we're blaming the secretary on that.
You could also just go to votespa.com and do it online and not have to worry about it.
Right. It's a lot easier. I will recommend that, because, as I said, I did that yesterday, and it was it took all of about 1 minute, seriously. So it's a really good system and a great website. Okay. Again, star three connects you to the line this evening. Star 3, and you can ask a question of either me or Secretary Bookfar on either the election or the election process or any other issue. And we have Eileen. Eileen, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have two questions.
The first is that
certainly the mail-in ballot is preferable because of health concerns. It is not accessible to a blind voter. A blind voter could not complete that independently. And while I understand that, that's out of the question for the primary, is this being taken into consideration by Pennsylvania for the November? I know that there's been just a lawsuit that was settled in Michigan regarding this.
Okay, and do you have a second question, Eileen? We'll try to get both of them out there.
Sure. My second question, I think the secretary just answered. She had mentioned that you could deliver your ballot to the county, to the courthouse, to the Board of Election. And my question was going to be, does it have to be that person? Because I know with the absentee ballot in the past, that person themselves had to hand deliver it. I'm thinking right. of a senior citizen who, because of the health crisis, et cetera, should not actually be out or has not gone out in months, would have difficulty delivering that in person.
Okay, great. Two great questions, Secretary. Can you offer an answer or answers,
Absolutely.
I should say?
Yep. Yeah. So first question, yeah, we, you know, of course, this is the first election where the opportunity exists for a vote by mail. And so, but yes, the answer is for November, we have already, you know, the appropriations that I mentioned earlier, the federal appropriations, we're going to be using some of those dollars to implement statewide with each county an opportunity for voters to, there's basically some technology that allows for blind voters to almost utilize their computers as ballot marking devices. So it will allow blind voters to vote by mail with their own computers, which is great, and we will have that in place for November. As for your second question, yeah, so, you know, so as a you know, a fraud prevention measure, Pennsylvania law has never allowed, aside from in the case of emergency ballots, which are, for example, if somebody goes into a hospital a couple of days before election day and unexpectedly can't vote in person, regular voters cannot give their ballot to somebody else to deliver to the elections office. It has to be the voter themselves. And that's really just a fraud protection measure, which, you know, makes a lot of sense from a fraud protection point of view, but I understand it certainly causes, you know, barriers for some people who are not as mobile as others. So for emergency ballots, if somebody has to go into the hospital, somebody can deliver it for them. But for regular absentee or mail-in, unfortunately, no, it has to be the voter themselves.
Okay. And that ties directly to an issue that I know a lot of the counties are looking at, and that is the possibility for remote drop-off locations. So that's presumably something that would make it a bit easier for especially elderly people, the types of voters that the caller described, if we had something like that. So not sure, you know, it doesn't seem like we will have that in place in time for the primary here, at least in Bucks, but it's possible that something like that could exist for the fall. So that's something we should definitely follow up on. But thank you for that. And now we are, again, star 3 to be connected to our line tonight to ask a question, star 3. And I just want a little infomercial here just for a second, and that is, you know, regardless whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, hopefully the message you get out of this tonight, aside from this very good and detailed information and answers to these questions, is it's important to vote. And please exercise your right to vote. Get out there and participate in the process. And even if you're an independent, in certain municipalities this spring, you might have the opportunity to go and cast a ballot, as you would here, for example, in Lower Makefield, where I live, where there is a special referendum question on the ballot. So while you would not be able to vote in either the Democratic or Republican primaries, you would be able to vote on the referendum question, which here in Lower Makefield is about whether the town will cease to be the only dry town where you cannot buy alcohol in all of Bucks County. So that will be on the ballot for June 2nd. Next, we have on the line Marjorie. Marjorie, go ahead. You're on the line.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking the call. And Kathy, it's good to hear your voice. My question is the possibility of some of the polls being merged or joined and moved to a new location. How soon will we be notified of any changes?
I think very soon. So Bucks County is actually doing less consolidations than some other place, so some other counties. So I think, you know, for here, there'll be a lot of similar places. And I'm happy to follow up with Bucks to find out what their exact schedule is. But the counties are generally finalizing that within days of now. And in addition to your being able to find out, you know, directly from the county, Once the counties do finalize it, it's another thing that you can find on VotesPA. There's a polling place there's a polling place locator, but don't look at it yet because it's not updated by the counties about these consolidations quite yet. But in the days before Election Day, do go on to VotesPA.com, polling place locator, and it will tell you exactly where your polling place will be.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I recall, and I was reading, maybe it was a newspaper article about Bucks, I think Springfield Township might have been one of the places where they were doing a consolidation. But again, as you said, Secretary, there aren't that many in Bucks. So in most cases, it's going to be your ordinary polling place if you actually go out to the polls on Election Day. Okay, so again, *3 to be connected. We still have about another 5 minutes or so on our call this evening, and we are very fortunate to have a special guest, Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar, a Bucks County native and one of my constituents, and I'm really grateful that you're with us here tonight, Secretary. Ellen, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Ellen?
Thank you very much, Senator, and thank you very much, Secretary. This has been a gargantuan job for all, and so far things are running smoothly, I'd say. I filled out my ballot today. I hope that we can put stamps on the return ballots in November. But my real questions are, and you mentioned remote drop-offs, yeah, because it would be difficult to drop off in Doylestown, and you know, if Levittown could also have a drop-off, a human being to pass along ballots on Election Day or primary day. And I know in other states they'll have secure post office box type setups where you would drop your ballot into that without doing the mail at all. That's just something I'm sure you all are considering, and I think it's very intelligent the way we've all been approaching this. And thank God that the legislature passed mail-in voting ballots last session because, wow, I can't imagine how I'd be feeling. But my biggest question is, when will the, say in Doylestown, when will they start actually counting, ripping open and counting the mail-in ballots?
Sure. So a couple of things, Ellen. First of all, you're absolutely right. I mean, Bucks County is geographically a very big county, and so it's not easy for everybody to be able to get to the courthouse in Doylestown to drop off a ballot, which is why it would be a good thing, particularly for the general election, to have remote locations. That's something ultimately that the county is going to have to decide on. You know, I will lend my voice, I can tell you that, to suggest that they do that. I do think it would be particularly helpful in Lower Bucks, and for that matter, in parts of Upper Bucks, where folks are very far away from the county seat in Doylestown. With respect to I'm blanking now on the second part of the question, was about, Secretary, do you remember what the second part of the question was at Ellen?
I think I was focused on the drop-offs, too.
Yeah. let me see. This is, and we're talking before about age, and I'm showing it right now. Will they be counted?
Yes.
Okay. So this is an issue, and it's something that we actually made a change in the law in the legislature back in April. It was not the change that I would have liked to have seen, and I would have liked us to do more. But up until April, the rule had been that the counties could not start counting the ballots until the polls closed at 8 p.m. on election night. The difference under Act 77 with the mail-in voting is that now all of the ballots go to the courthouse. It used to be that they'd go to the courthouse and then they'd be distributed out to the various precincts where people vote, and that's where they would be counted on election night. Instead, they're all going to be counted at a central location at the Board of Elections in Doylestown. So that's a big job. I think Secretary said so far something like 90,000 ballots have been requested in Bucks County. So we could easily be at 100,000 by June 2nd. And that's a lot of ballots to count. So the change in the law that we made in April was to allow the county to start processing, not tabulating the numbers of votes, but processing the ballots by sending them through a scanning machine starting at 7 a.m. on Election Day, which is when the polls open. We had hoped that the legislation would have allowed the counties to start doing that 21 days at least before the election. That would have given them plenty of time to be in a position on election night to actually tabulate the total votes. But that's not what unfortunately was able to pass, and so the rule was changed to 7 o'clock on election 7 o'clock on election morning. It's going to be a function of how many ballots the county gets and how many scanners they have available and how many ballots a scanner can handle in a specific period of time and how many people they will have to be able to operate those scanners. I hope that the county will have the resources in the allotted time in order to get the ballots all counted by the end of the night on June 2nd, but you know we will see. If that is a problem, if it proves to be a problem here and elsewhere in the state, I hope there will be support after the June 2nd primary in the legislature to take another look at the rule and perhaps give counties like Bucks across Pennsylvania the ability to start processing those ballots prior to Election Day. I think that would be helpful because I don't think any of us want to be in a position where we're wondering late on the night of November 3rd who actually won the presidency because Pennsylvania hasn't been able to tabulate its votes. And that's something that I think we have to take very seriously. So.
Okay. I agree 100%.
Yep. You have anything to add to that? I'm sorry. I didn't want to, didn't mean to shut
no,
you off.
No, no. I mean, you know, Senator, I hope that, you know, we will work together. I know you and I both support a longer period for canvassing. And so hopefully the legislature will pass that change before November.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. All right. So I think we've come to our last caller of the evening. Linda, you have the distinction of being our final caller. Are you on the line?
I am.
Okay, and, great. Go ahead.
I actually was one of those people who voted in Florida in the 2000 election with the hanging chads and all of that.
There,
so.
You, there you go. Don't tell us you were in Dade County.
I was.
Were you really? Okay.
I absolutely was.
Okay.
Okay. So my son and I both went online and thought we arranged for paper ballots. I got mine. He ended up getting an application for a mail-in ballot. And so now he's, you know, he just opened it thinking it was a ballot. And he has this application form and an envelope printed with his return address to the county election office in Doylestown. Does it make sense for him to fill out that or to go back online and try and get the ballot directly? Is there enough time? And is he already in the system so that if he goes online, it'll look like he's registered twice or something? So what's the efficient thing to do?
Secretary, what do you think?
He definitely applied for a ballot already, you're saying. He already submitted an application, correct?
He went online. He thought he did. What he ended up getting in the mail is a Pennsylvania application for a mail-in ballot instead of the ballot.
I would suggest that he calls Bucks County Board of Elections because as I mentioned earlier, there are third-party entities who are sending applications. So it could be coincidental and he could get his ballot tomorrow. And I don't want him to duplicate his application because that doesn't help him or, you know, anyone. So
right.
call the County Board of Elections and have them look him up and see whether he did, whether he is going to be getting a ballot any day. And then if not, there's still time for him to apply because the deadline to apply is not till next Tuesday.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Well, thanks very much. And I, before we end, I just want to say I just got a text message from The president of Newtown Borough Council, Tara Grundy-McLaughlin, who was kind enough to share with us that the Bucks County Board of Elections will supply every polling station with a number of pens, and workers will sanitize them between uses. They will not have enough to give them away, but voters are encouraged to bring their own black or blue ballpoint pens only. So that answer is one of the previous questions we had about that issue as well. So, Secretary, the hour has flown by. I'm reminded of those of you who are fans of the old show Car Talk and NPR, where they would end the hour and say, well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. I hope this has not been a waste of your time. I hope you have found this both interesting and informative. And, Secretary, I really am grateful for you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight and to listen to, the concerns and the questions that, our constituents have.
Anytime. And thank you for your leadership, Senator. You're terrific. I'm so glad to be a constituent.
Well, thank you. It's great to have you. We're honored and proud to have you, serving as the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania. Well, thank you all very much again. We appreciate it. Keep an eye out for future Telltown Halls. And in the meantime, please do vote and stay safe. Thank you and good night.